This is North Shore Sports Night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, and, of course, Bill Newell, our Mr. Everything at MSO, putting together the Salem News Sports Writers podcast for tomorrow, and a really interesting guest, a special guest tomorrow on the program, so you won't want to miss that. It drops at 8 o'clock. We've got some special guests tonight that we're looking forward to talking with as well, and we're going to be doing you know, our usual thing. We're going to talk with the Newburyport High School hockey coach, Paul Yameen. Coach Yameen, his team is number six in Division II seedings in hockey, and we'll talk to him about his upcoming opponent on Wednesday and the season in general. And we'll check in with Ty Hanrahan, who is one of the assistant coaches over at Endicott College. A thrilling come-from-behind 5-4 win for Endicott on Saturday. I believe that was the opener of their tournament, and there was a special guest from Philadelphia, from the Philadelphia Flyers in the stands on Saturday night at Endicott, and that's pretty cool. And then we'll talk with our basketball insider, who has his Mike's Power Five. He also has his Mike's Surprise Five that we'll talk to him about later on. But first, we bring in Tim Kearns, and Tim and I, you and I were talking about the weather forecast coming up, and it's kind of amusing on the one hand, it's kind of stressful on the other hand when they come at you a week or 2 weeks ahead of time saying it's the end of the world apocalypse snowstorm, and then they come up with these spreads from 0 to 6 feet. So what are you looking at?
Well, you know, I was just looking at the weather app that I have on my computer. It's saying 3 to 6. And, of course, the storms that have started out in California and dumped snow on California, I want to see the expressions on those people's faces when they woke up and saw snow and went, I don't have a shovel. You
know? Yeah.
But, you know, that system has just made its way across the country, dumping all kind of snow and causing all kind of havoc. And so the weather forecast knew that some sort of large system was going to be here. And as usual, they have to guess to determine just how strong it's going to be, how much is going to be left of the system itself. So the guys on the East Coast, you know, have the benefit of having seen what's come across the entire nation before they make their forecast, and then they see what's coming down from the north out of Canada from the Great Lakes, so you can kind of add that factor in. And so basically they're guessing, you know, and every time I see a forecast, I just think back to poor John Kent from Channel 4, WBZ in Boston, you know, and his forecast. And they were 99% of the time absolutely wrong. He was such a great guy. He delivered it in such a home-style fashion that you couldn't get mad at him, you know?
Well, the thing that killed me about Don Kent was he'd give you, like, a second-by-second forecast. This is going to happen, you know, at 22 minutes, 10 seconds past the hour. Then this is going to happen at 25 seconds, 9 seconds past the hour. And it was like, come on, Don, give me a break, you know? Jesus. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens, and we'll see what schools. I guess in Boston, they're already canceling school for tomorrow. So, all kinds.
Really?
Yeah. And
well, the medium came home and asked me the same question. She said, you guys got school tomorrow? And I said, I don't think so. Yeah. I said, you know, I'm sure we do. And the kids are asking me today at school, you know, are they going to cancel school? And I said, listen, if they didn't cancel it in the last snowstorm, do you really think they're going to cancel it for this one?
Well, you and I remember times when we had ice storms and they did not cancel school. And then there were other times when you get, you know, 4 or 5 inches and, oh, my God, you can't go in. And, you know, there was a time when you lived in the north, you dealt with snowstorms. But we don't have much winter anymore, so it is a bit of a shock to the system when we do get some of this stuff.
Yeah, you know, and we used to get really good snowstorms, and you were still going to school.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, it's crazy that the way they do it nowadays. But so many more kids take the buses. You know, the school system buses, and there's a lot of liability that goes along with it because, you know, when we took the bus to school, it was a city-provided bus, so their insurance coverage was different, and or you walked. You know, again, we walked a mile plus to school every day.
Oh, I remember some
only
cold.
Only if it was really, really bad weather that a parent would break down and give us a ride.
I remember some really cold days in the first grade before we moved away. We moved away from Gloucester in when I was in the second grade. And boy, do I remember some cold days going over East Gloucester Elementary. Coach, let's switch to sports here. Gloucester with an all-state wrestling champion, and I guess the girls cheer did pretty well as well. So, you know, your school doing pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I was hoping to see the top entrants, but I didn't see them in the hallways at all. I was over in the new wing, as we like to refer to it.
The wing that's going to be underwater this century.
We both know how ironic that term is. myself, Dave Enos, and another teacher, we were standing on the landing. You know, the hallway looking out at the construction along the canal. And
that inspires confidence, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, all they had to do was put a 2-inch cap on top of the existing wall, and it would have stopped any flooding from happening. Instead, they're putting in this metal wall that could be 5 feet high to stop any future flooding. So, we'll see how effective it is. First big snowstorm at a high tide.
Well, I do remember Rosemary Banks teaching science and marine science at the high school when I was teaching there. And she, back in the 80s or 90s, she did a paper for something or somebody. And in it, she posited that sometime during this century, that wing, the so-called new wing, which is the science wing, will be underwater. It's the wing that's closest to the canal. And you know, you see these high tides, boy, and it's pretty freaky. And I think she might have been right on, so we'll see.
For the sake of the viewers that don't know how old the new wing is, when was that built?
68, I think, 1968 or something like that. Yeah, so, you know. But they did have a refit. The high school did have a refit in 93, from 93 to 96, that, in my editorial opinion, was a complete, total, 100% catastrophe, disaster, and I don't think that the high school has recovered from that. And what's kind of a shame, and I got to get off this bus here quickly, is that we have all these brand new elementary schools that these kids go to, you know, that are state of the art, that are being built for gazillions of dollars, and then they have to go to a beginning to become antiquated O'Malley school. And then they go to the high school, which is, you know, circa 1850. So it's just kind of weird.
Oh, it absolutely is. You know, I got there in 90, in the spring of 96, and it was, the renovation was still going on. In fact, they were just beginning to tear apart the inside. And it finished like a year later, but it was just awful.
Yeah. Well, we're not going to go down. We could go down that road later with people who died of cancer and so on, but we'll leave that for another day. It's supposed to be good talk about sports, and there's a lot of good stuff to talk about. We're going to talk in a few minutes with Paul Yameen. Newburyport has had a most interesting season, and as many of the teams on our North Shore have had, they've qualified in a good way for the state tournament. They've got a good seed, and they have played a brutal schedule. So we'll talk to Coach Yameen about that, and we'll check in with Ty Hanrahan at Endicott College in a little while as well. So let me take a break and hope that I can bring Tim back here safely, and we'll be right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we're back now with Paul Yameen, Newburyport High School boys hockey coach, and Tim Kearns is with us. And Coach Yameen, as you know, we go back and forth here. We take turns asking questions of our guests. And the first thing I want to do is welcome you back and congratulations. You got a pretty damn good seed in Division II.
Yeah, thank you. Always enjoy talking to you guys. Appreciate it. We're happy with our seed, not so happy with the final record and how the year ended, but, you know, we played a lot of good teams, and I think we're deserving.
Coach, was the setting up of your schedule for this year done on purpose, again, to prepare your team for the grind of the postseason?
Yeah, that's a part of it. I think that's always been a part of our philosophy, and, you know, I think we want to challenge our guys, and I think, you know, if you play the best teams, it prepares you for this time of the year. And what better time of the year than tournament time?
We're really looking forward to it. Who'd you play out of conference this year?
Our league has diminished over the years, so we have I think 12 non-league games. We only have, well, we're split in two in the Cal. It's a big, a small, and a large, and there's four in our in the large. So we get a good amount of non-league games due to that. So it's good and bad, I guess. We played BC High, we played St. John's Prep, we played St. Mary's twice, Franklin, Canton, Masco, Westford Academy, Bishop Fenwick, Andover, mm-hmm. North Andover. So some good teams.
That's why did you just line up BU, BC, Harvard, and
Well, if they play us, we'd play them.
Oh, man. You know, Paul, you said something interesting about the league being diminished, and yet your teams have gotten stronger. The number of teams in the league has dwindled, but in my opinion, the teams have gotten stronger.
Yeah, I mean, it's great competition. There's a lot of good rivalries there, so that plays a big role in it. But, you know, years ago, we had North Andover, Masco, and Wilmington in the league, and back then I thought we were looked at as the best Division II league, one of the best mm-hmm. in the state, you know, and not so much anymore because I think we're the only team in D2 in our league. Everybody else is down in D3 now. So it's definitely changed.
We got to get that Super League back with all the adjacent towns and everything back in. Tim, what you got for Coach?
Well, that's the question that I was going to go. I mean, you know, a four-team conference really doesn't make any sense. You know, and the rivalries that they've eliminated and that they've impacted, when Rick and I were growing up, the old Essex County League, I mean, you talk about Rock and Sock and Robots.
Yep.
Holy, the entire North Shore beating the hell out of each other for an entire season and then going to the playoffs.
Yeah, and you know, again, back when those teams were in the league, you know, we didn't have many non-league games, but playing those teams twice each, you were prepared. And you know, I'm not the league is changed so much that we're the only D2 team in the league, and all the rest of D3. So I agree, Tim. I think that you know, a four team league is, we've campaigned to go like Hingham did. You know, go independent and just build your own schedule throughout, and also keep the rivalries for one game. So we keep Triton for one game. We keep Amesbury for one game. We keep Linfield for one game. And then, you know, just go out and basically make our schedule. But for whatever the reason, that was voted down years ago. So
keep pushing, Paul. Keep pushing. I mean, you know, things do change, and other guys can be heard. If you look at your schedule this year, Coach, what's a signature game for you guys in terms of the powerhouses that you did play? If there's one or two games that you were most pleased with when how your guys performed, could you tell us about it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, we went down to Franklin on a Sunday night, and we had played St. Mary's on Saturday afternoon to a 2-2 tie, real good game. And mm-hmm. then the following day, we got to go down to Franklin and play them on a back-to-back. And you know, we come out of there with a 1-0 win, and that's just a great win. They're a fantastic program. Coach Blaine is outstanding. And, you know, every year you play them, it's juniors and seniors throughout the lineup. And they're loaded, you know. And so for us to do that, I thought that was a real character win for us.
And before I give it over to Tim, let me remind people that Franklin is in Division One. We've seen a lot of them on the North Shore in different sports this year, and they finished 16-5-0 with 91 goals scored. So that is a great win.
Yeah, you know, and we lost to St. John's 5-1, but I'll say, you know, again, the Hines game is a different animal, and you know, we just try to hammer home to those guys, our guys. You know, we got to hold them down the first 10 minutes, the first 8 minutes, and we just can't do it. They come out with so much emotion out of that locker room.
And, mm-hmm.
You know, we walked out of that first period, went down 3-0 or 4-0, and, you know, we outscore them 1-0 in the second period, and third period it was a 1-0 game them. So, you know, I was proud of how we fought and battled in that game, and we could have tanked it there, you know, being down 4-0, and our guys just continue to battle. So mm-hmm. I was proud of that, and the next day we go down and play BCI, and you know, a 0-0 game late in the second, and we end up losing 2-0 on an empty net or what, you know, just another good battle. So yeah, we don't get the win, and nobody likes to lose, but you know what, you lose to those guys in a close fight, mm-hmm. I'm okay with that. We're okay with that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, certainly the score is what it is. But it's the intangibles that you take away from that, you know, given the quality of talent on a St. John's Prep or a BC High with their, you know, their great teams, and you go, most of these guys are going to go, or most of the guys on both teams are going to go to college somewhere to play hockey.
Correct.
And all end up going to the juniors. And mm-hmm. you think, you know, we withstood the attack. You know, we gave up 3 goals, but, you know, it could have been a whole lot worse. So you take that same attitude, that same mentality, and you take it to your next game. You know, you're going to see good results, and the kids can learn to believe in themselves based on just that experience.
I agree 110%. I think, you know, our guys realize that we're a battle-tested team. You know, and does that, you know, can you walk on the ice and win because of that? No. But I think in the back of their minds, they believe that they could play with anybody. You know, in a one-game playoff, the tournament, anything can happen, right? You know, not always the best team wins, but, you know, it is what it is, and I think we're playing pretty good going into it. So, you know, we've been fortunate enough to be in that championship game twice, and there's nothing like it for a high school athlete to experience that. It's something that I always tell our guys, you know, and it's something that I wish every kid could get a chance to participate in. You know, that's how fun it is and how much mm-hmm. it means, but hopefully, you know, one of these days we'll get back there.
Well, you've got the highest seed in D2 for our area schools. Gloucester is number 12, Masco is number 14, and Marblehead is number 16. And Amesbury is 21, so a lot of schools from the area, but you guys are the highest up there for North Shore schools. And tell me, Coach, now with you got a 6:00 game on Wednesday at the Graff, and you're playing Melrose, so do you know anything about them?
Yeah, well, first they changed it to 7.
Oh, okay. Let me pencil that in.
That was good, actually, Rick, because Triton is playing at 4.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need a little time for people to get in and get out in the locker room situation. So
mm-hmm.
we're at 7, anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I did. I've seen Melrose. You know, I throw their record right out the window. They play a good schedule. They play in a good league. They're tough kids, and they play hard. So, you know, schedules are thrown out the window, records are thrown out the window. It's who's going to come to play and who's taking care of the puck and who's staying out of the box. So hopefully it works our way.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the size of Newburyport High School?
780 to 800 kids.
You're about the size of Gloucester.
I think we're a small... Well, I don't know. You know, I think we're bigger than Amesbury, smaller than Pawtucket, maybe. But you know, I think all our schools in the Cal are very similar in size. But I thought Gloucester had more than that.
No, it's shrinking like a violet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, I've always thought of Newburyport as a much bigger school in terms of population because the overall quality of the athletics for the longest time has been outstanding. You're competitive in all of the sports. You normally have one of the physically biggest teams in the KPN, no matter what sport it is. And I'm thinking, geez, and that's why I had to ask, because I'm thinking, well, you guys have the talent of like a school twice your size.
Well, you know, I was saying going into the winter season, our fall season was fabulous. We had a state championship soccer boys team. Our girls went deep. Our girls field hockey team went deep. Our girls volleyball team went deep. So, you know, the pressure was on the winter teams, you know. And, you're right. Our school has 800 kids, and 75% of them, three-quarters of the school, are participating in athletics. You know, we have a great strength and conditioning program. We have a great facility. So I think a lot of the kids understand that, you know, if they use it the right way, it'll definitely help them and the team. So that's our philosophy, and I think a lot of the kids are jumping on.
Paul, before we let you go, go ahead, Tim.
One of the things, like Lawson, you guys benefit by having your own arena.
Yeah.
You don't have to travel for an excessive amount of practice, off your home games. The rings in town, the parents and the families can all get there real quick and get home just as quick. And that's a big factor.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I don't know if you guys have been to the Graff.
Oh, yeah.
Literally, I could throw a rock from the high school to the Graff. And, yeah, it makes a world of difference. And everything you just said there, Tim, the one thing we want is a locker room in that building. We still haven't got that. But the convenience of being so close, it definitely helps.
Yeah, and it's one of the places, there are three rinks, I think, on the North Shore that opposing teams just dread going to. The Graff is one, I think the Talbot up in Gloucester is the other, and, of course, the Larson over in Winthrop.
We love going to Gloucester.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we had, when Don Lowe was there,
mm-hmm.
how long ago was that?
Probably 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah.
Maybe a little longer, yep.
We had some battles with them when the Sala boys were there and the Borowskis.
Oh, that's 10 years, yeah, okay, yep.
Oh, yeah, we had some good ones with them. That was a lot of fun.
All right, Coach, before we let you go, brag about your leaders this year, because I know you're proud of this team and how well they've played.
I love our seniors. I really do, and they're a great group of guys from top to bottom. We have, I think, 9 on the team. You know, a couple of them don't get that much time on the ice, but they're there every day practicing as hard as anybody else, making us better. So I just hope we can continue a little longer for these guys. Max Puglio is a captain, defenseman. Jamie Brooks, captain, goalie. Zach McHugh, senior captain. Cam Caponago, senior captain. And Ryan Philbin, and senior assistant captain. So really enjoy these guys and hoping we can go a few more weeks.
Absolutely, Paul. I wish the hell we could get up there more often, but we're doing most of this stuff by phone this year, and it's just great talking with you. I appreciate your friendship and your help over the years, and good luck, man. Let's talk again soon.
You know, I really appreciate you guys. You know, I think what you guys are doing is great, so thank you very much.
You're very kind, Coach. Good luck this week.
All right, thank you.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Best of luck.
All right,
thank you.
Paul Yameen, who is the boys hockey coach at Newburyport High School, and that rink is something to play in, I'll tell you. Have you been up there, Tim? Did I lose you, Tim? Apparently he went away. And I never touched the phone, never touched anything. All right, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Ty Hanrahan. So we'll take a little bit of break, got to see what's going on here. Yeah, we lost him. Well, that's weird. All right, so we'll be right back. Well, maybe it might be a little bit longer than right back.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
The North Shore is listening to MSONewsSports.com and our great selection of podcasts.
Hi, this is Phil Stacey, Executive Sports Editor of the Salem News. Make sure to listen to our podcast every week with the sports writers from the Salem News, including Matt Williams, Nick Giannino, and myself.
MSO News Sports, connecting you to the North Shore. We are MSONewsSports.com, the North Shore's news and sports website, featuring North Shore Sports Night, Monday nights at 7, the North Shore and Merrimack Valley Sports Desk shows, hosting on Thursdays, North Shore Today, the area's multimedia, community-based daily magazine. Our connections feature interview segments. Spread the word about MSONewsSports.com as we support North Shore communities with our exclusive content, powered by Moynihan Lumber, Beverly, North Reading, and Plastow, New Hampshire.
All right, here we go back again. You know, it's funny, Tim, when I was working at WESX many years ago, the sales manager and eventually the general manager, Max Martin, who became a really, really, really good close friend, he told me many years ago, he said, you will never have a perfect newscast. Now, what, 40, 50 years later, he's right. I never have.
Yeah, I'm not going to...
Well, there. Now this is Ty. I don't know how to do this. See, he's calling back in now. How do I do this? Because I'm not familiar with this.
Hmm. I have no idea.
I don't know because this system allows me to just one button I can push. I don't have two
here
lines.
Here comes Bose with some speed down.
Hello.
Hello.
Was that you, Tim?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay. All right. Let me try this. I'm going to try calling Ty again. So I'm going to put you back on hold. And now I'll try calling Ty again. And let's see if this works.
Hi, I'm sorry about that.
No, it's okay. It's all right. Let me see if I can bring Tim back in here. All right, Tim, we have Ty on the line. If you're still there, I'll be a lucky man. Tim?
I'm still here.
Okay. All right. There we go. All right. We bring back Ty Hanrahan, who was one of the assistant coaches at Endicott College Hockey. And Ty, welcome back. Thanks for taking the time to stop in with us again. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. You know, Tim Kearns is on the other.
I have to tell you, Rick just loves to name drop your dad.
Oh God. Yeah. I was just about to.
Oh, God.
I do. It's one of my greatest thrills. I was just about to do it again. I was going to say, Endicott, now you're in the tournament now. Have you begun the tournament? Was that game Saturday in the tourney?
So we play in the conference championship.
Oh, okay.
The Commonwealth Coast Conference on Saturday.
I want to hear all about that because there's a certain member of the Philadelphia Flyers organization who actually texted me, Tim. He texted me on what a fabulous game it was, Ty. So maybe you can bring us through that game.
Yeah, honestly, we jumped out with a quick start and got the lead, and you know, Salve was really prepared. They played a great game, and you know, they ended up with the lead late in the third, and I think it was 4-2 with 6 minutes to go, and you know, we just needed the one just to get us going. We were held scoreless in the second, so we knew we just needed one just to get us going, and Cassidy Bowes ended up scoring his hat trick goal to get us going, and then. A minute later, we got a power play and tied it up. He scored on that one, too. And then the shift after, we took the go-ahead goal with, I think, a minute 30 left. That was definitely the craziest game I've ever been a part of.
I think people who live along the North Shore remember Endicott in its original variation. It was just, you know, a two-year girls' school. And yet, over the last two decades, it has emerged as an academic and athletic powerhouse across the board.
Right, it really has, and I think it started with the vision of Doc Wiley, who unfortunately passed before I was able to be a freshman. But I got to meet him a couple times, and he was always super proud of Endicott College and his son, our athletic director, Mr. Wiley. He's provides anything we need to be successful, and then our current president now, President DeSalvo, is still doing a terrific job. Really navigated us really well through COVID and kind of helped keep us on the right track, and really if you have great people like that leading the charge, you're usually going to get great results like we do.
Yeah, Dr. Wiley, former Gloucester guy, educator.
That the vision garnered such support, not only from the community, but from alumni and for outsiders who and local people who wanted to come in and be a part of this growing program that Endicott has become.
Absolutely. I remember taking my tour to Endicott, and I was in the admissions building, and I had a quick, like, 5-minute conversation with Doc Wiley, and right after that 5-minute combo, I remember saying to my dad, this is where I want to go. This is where I want to go. And the school's completely unrecognizable from when I was a freshman. I mean, it just keeps expanding and keeps developing, and it's really amazing. It's an amazing place to be.
The first time I went over there, I think I told you this before, at the administration building, I thought it was Hogwarts. It was so cool.
Yeah.
And then on the flip side, my daughter went down to Philadelphia. We drove down there when she was a senior for a senior acceptance day at Drexel. And same thing, she said, oh, man, this is where I want to be. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, I got to drive down to Philadelphia now. So, jeez. But it all worked out so well. All right, so you beat Salve, and now what's next? Is it Curry? You just played Curry a week ago or a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, so we lost to Curry 2 weeks ago. And we had a tie with them. We beat them in overtime, and then we lost them in regulation. So they've all been really close games. They're a really well-coached team with a lot of very good players. But, yeah, so we'll be ready for them, that for sure, and really excited to do it on Saturday, come Saturday.
And this is a home game?
Yeah, this will be at 3 p.m. At the Ray. So
at the Bork, all right. Tim, any final questions or comments for Mr. Hanrahan?
Oh, God. I wanted to ask something about his father, but I'm sure he gets that all the time.
No.
I'll leave that to Rick, because I know how he gets all the
questions. Oh, no, go ahead, because come on, man. It's he's a Gloucester, you know, Barry is a Gloucester alum, man, and we're so proud of him.
Oh, man.
Don't be afraid. Ty's not going to hurt you.
I don't want to be like Rick. As you head into these tournaments, what's the mindset of the coaching staff and the message that you'd want to get across to the guys? Because you're going to be the number one seed, and everybody's shooting to knock you off. And yet there's a kind of a, you know, the high that goes along with being the number one seed, the bragging rights, and all that. But how do you temper the emotions?
Absolutely. I think it's just we relate to each other that, you know, we know what's in our room. We know we have the best team. And, you know, when we talk about not letting anything get in between, that means officials, you know, not overreacting on a bad call, because that happens every game, you know. Only play inside focus on what's inside the glass, you know, so outside noise or whether it's, you know, opposing fans or other players, just look right through them, you know, and just be on a mission and stay on task. And I think we definitely have the group to do it, because they have the perfect mix of, you know, leadership and young guys. And it's a really special group. It really is.
I'm going to ask one more question, Ty. In your high school career and going into college, who were you influenced by in terms of coaches?
Coaching-wise, honestly, I haven't really been influenced by one or another. I always wanted to, you know, be a part of something really special. So I'd always try to find, you know, consistencies with the coaches of, you know, like the Bill Belichicks or the Greg Popoviches. But to be honest with you, the first coach that really influenced me was Coach RJ, and you mm-hmm. know, he's someone I really do look up to, and mm-hmm. Everything he's able to just share with me, his knowledge is amazing. So to be able to go and work with him every day is really a blessing. You know, he's the first one that's really kind of, you know, I grew up on the management side of things with my dad, you know, so I never really thought about really getting into coaching, and then, you know, I grew to love it working with RJ. And then, you know, and there's similarities that he does that a lot of great other coaches do. And there's things where he's unique that makes it work.
Geez, Ty, who's your dad?
Yeah.
Well, I was referencing more as a player. When you learn lacrosse and you learn how to play sports.
I mean, a player I looked up to growing up all the time was Mike Richards on the Flyers. That was a guy that every shift you knew exactly what you were going to get.
Mm-hmm.
His leadership, his work ethic, everything from that. I mean, you couldn't ask for anything more from a player in the city of Philadelphia than Mike Richards. And yeah, he was a treat every night. And he still, everyone asks me who my favorite athlete of
yep.
all time is,
yep.
and all of them know that Mike Richards.
Yeah, I've got it now. I've got it ingrained in me because I've asked you a couple of times and I lost it. All right, Ty. So, okay, Saturday, it's a home game, and is this for the championship of the CCC?
Yes, sir.
All right, and that's at the Bork. What time is that?
3 p.m. or 2 p.m.
2 p.m. All right. Ty, thank you so much, and keep it going.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. All right, take care, Coach.
Good night.
All right, that's Ty Hanrahan, who was an assistant coach at Endicott College Hockey. He was a lacrosse player at Endicott, and I was trying to ask him, you know, who we learned lacrosse from, but I never got the question out correctly, so maybe next time. All right, Tim, we have...
need to work on your preparation.
My preparation? No, I need to work on my delivery. The preparation's okay. It's the delivery. Oh, technique. All right, let me... But I'm open to when you look at the video, Tim, I'm open to critique, okay?
All right, I'll get right back to you.
Okay. All right. Next up is Mike Grenier. He is our basketball insider, and hopefully it'll be a little bit smoother than last time. So again, please hang in there with us. This is North Shore Sports Night. Big day tomorrow in the Salem News podcast. You'll want to stay tuned for that, the Salem News Sports Podcast. That's dropping around 8 a.m. tomorrow. Got a special guest there as sports writers will be talking with Bill Newell as host, and there'll be a special interviewee as well. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. And don't forget, we've got the Sports Desk coming up on Thursday, the North Shore Sports Desk. They drop early in the morning, and the Merrimack Valley Sports Desk with Nick Kukuru and Dominic Nicastro. So please stay tuned to that, or at least check into that if you would. All right, so we'll be back in just a second here. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. And if you're planning to replace the windows in your home, I have just two words for you. Anderson Windows. Anderson is the most trusted name in windows throughout the United States. See the complete line of Anderson Windows on display at Moynihan Lumber in Beverly, North Reading, and Plaistow, New Hampshire, or visit us at MoynihanLumber.com.
Moynihan Lumber, we measure up.
All right, we are back with Mike Grenier, our basketball insider. Tim Kearns has had to step away for a few minutes. He'll be back, and he'll let us know when he checks in. And Mike, I know that we have a podcast up on our website with you and Bill Newell.
Taking
a look at Division I basketball in high school in the high school tournament, the D1 high school tournament. So, how about a recap, a quick thumbnail on what your synopsis is of the D1 tourney?
Well, you know, both Bill and I were talking about how we love the format where strength of schedule plays such a huge factor. And having seen Central Catholic play 20 games this year because my nephew is a 6'8" junior on the team, I can attest to the fact that teams like Central Catholic and Lawrence High did play the toughest schedule in the state because we saw a lot of teams that ended up being in the top 10 or 15 in the MIA Division I rankings. So it's a legit lineup of great teams at the top. And when you toss the ball up, of course, anything can happen. So we're looking forward to it. I know we'll be out Friday night at Central Catholic, and they play the winner of the Brookline-Hopkinton game, and they have a great chance of winning that one and moving on. So, yeah, there's a lot of really good teams. I've seen Newton North, and I've seen Lowell, and I've seen Andover, North Andover. Those are all teams that are highly rated. And, of course, Lawrence High saw them three times. They're ranked second in the state, and probably, as I said to Bill Newell, the best defensive team that I saw maybe the last 4 or 5 years. They play 10 or 12 kids, Rick. They have a depth that kind of rivals the Celtics, you know, and the Milwaukee Bucks on a high school level. Lawrence High, they contest every inch of the floor, and they're going to be a factor in this Division I tournament.
You know, Mike, you and I and Tim and Bill, you know, we've lived a lifetime or two. And
yes.
Here we are still having so much fun watching and promoting high school sports. And
I
don't know what it is that motivates it, but it's a thing to behold, and it's affordable, and you see some really good things out there.
Yeah, and you know, you go to games like we did at Central Catholic, and you get to see, you meet the parents and other supporters of the teams, whether it be Lawrence High or Central Catholic or Andover, North Andover, whatever. And you know, they follow the teams all year round, and you know, through good weather and bad weather. And we were out certainly on a lot of cold nights, but you want to do that. You want to see those kids perform well, high school kids. You want them to excel in the classroom in particular. And I know in the case of my own nephew, he's doing better in school right now at Central Catholic because he's got the discipline of the basketball season to deal with as well. So he apportions his time properly to get his studies done. He's doing better in school than he has all year.
Tim, are you back?
Hey, Rick, I'm here.
I want to ask you about what Mike just said. Did you find, as an educator, as a teacher, and a coach, when kids got involved in sports, they budgeted their time better and they actually did better academically?
I think the Catholic school experience that Mike's relative is experiencing, that comes with its own set of discipline and its outlook on discipline. You know, I always held the athletes accountable. Didn't hold them to a higher standard, because I always told all the kids, the first, I don't care whether you're in theater or play sports or anything, everybody's the same. You have to get the work done or you can't participate. You got to get the work done or you're not going to be eligible to participate. So you have to take that into consideration. You know, as not only during the season, but as the season is coming up, because you have to be eligible the quarter before your season starts, or you can't get on the floor. So
it keeps
them aware. And as myself, I always constantly reminded everybody of what their responsibilities were. And especially those kids that, again, were in theater or sports or any other activity, band or whatever, is that they had to learn to budget their time. Yeah, you've got to practice. Yeah, you've got to concert. But you've also got responsibilities to make sure that you've got your academics taken care of, that you've got everything done that you have to have done, you know. So, but I think that the Catholic school identity certainly adds another layer to it. I think, Mike, you'd agree with that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. Like I was just saying to Rick, that I found that my nephew was 17 years old, and a typical goofy 17-year-old kid. He's gotten better marks this winter than he would have in the fall because basketball takes up so much time, and there's so much discipline involved in good basketball teams that it carries over into the classroom, we found. I know his parents are extremely pleased to see his grades getting better and better as the winter has gone on. It's been great, and I know, you know, obviously now they're concentrating on the state tournament, but they're still going to get their schoolwork done, and it's fabulous time, you know?
Well, you know, a lot of the coaches also slot time sometimes before their practice, where the kids have to meet in a classroom and they have to bring assignments and they have to do schoolwork until it's set time and then they go and practice.
Yep. That's a great discipline to learn.
Mike, you have a new feature tonight for us. It's called
something I just proposed.
It's called Mike's Surprise 5.
The Surprise 5. I mean, I thought of things that, let's say, that here we are, basically more than two-thirds of the way into the season now, almost like basically three-quarters, 20, 21 games left. And I said, some of the most surprising things that have happened in the NBA, at least from my viewpoint and maybe other observers as well. So I thought I'd bounce these things around with you guys and see what you think, what I came up with the last couple of days here. And so I'll go one by one, because I know if you try to digest all five, we won't remember the first one 3 minutes from now, right?
Yeah, that's right.
And Rick, so the first one I thought of, because it affects the Celtics directly, is right now, and they're on TV right now, Miami Heat. I've been the staunch defender of them and saying, okay, they reached the Eastern Conference Finals last year. They had home court. The Celtics beat them in 7 games. And I'm thinking they should be playing great right now and be right back in the mix. And the last few weeks I've been saying, don't sleep on the Miami Heat, because they're going to be maybe a good team come playoff team. Well, I think I haven't slept on the Miami Heat, but maybe they've slept on themselves, because they're only 3 games over .500. They've been languishing in that position that, number 6 or number 7 in the Eastern Conference. They're not putting together any good winning streaks. And if the playoffs started today, I'd say the Celtics would handle them pretty easily. And they haven't changed personnel. They have not had major injuries to their key players like Jimmy Butler or Adebayo. So that was my first surprise of the season. It seems to me that they're a much better team than what their record has shown. Tim and Rick, I start with that one. So what do you guys think?
Well, Bill Parcells said it. You are what you are.
Yeah.
You know, and 32-29. You know, you got a winning record, but you're 4-6 over your last 10. You've lost 4 in a row. Now's the time when you should be putting streaks the opposite of that together. If you want to, again, move up in the standings and not have to play somebody really difficult.
Right.
And are you living on your old name? Are you living on reputation? Do you think you're going to just skate in there because you got a couple of big names who are also getting older? You know?
I mean, last year ago, guys, obviously they had 53 wins, and they, you know, which was 2 more than the Celtics, so that's why they had home court advantage in the Eastern Conference Finals. And the Celtics, won 7 games to beat them, 1 on the Miami floor. And the Heat has not carried over. And so if you're a Miami fan, you're thinking, we might not go too deep in the playoffs this year. So that was my first surprise. My second one also has to do with the team, this one in the Western Conference, the team that defeated the Celtics in the finals, the Golden State Warriors, great championship-caliber team, lots of veteran players, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, you go up and down the line. They're basically a game over 500. But here's the thing that sticks out to me. They're 7-23 on the road. That's incomprehensible to me for a team that has that much talent and that much experience to go on the road and to go 7-23 through their first 30 games on the road. The Celtics, in sharp contrast, are 20-10. I believe they have the best road record in the entire NBA. So I'm thinking if Golden State makes it, and they're going to finish 7th or 8th and barely make the playoffs, they will not be a good road team against a team like a young Memphis team or the Denver team that's been playing great and owns the best record in the Western Conference. So here's a championship, reigning champions, and can they make a good defense of their championship? Right now, I'd say no, because they're 7-23 on the road, and they're going to be hitting the road quite a bit in the playoffs.
I love this category. Go ahead, Tim.
Oh yeah, their home record is 180 degrees different.
Correct.
They're 24-7.
Yeah.
You have to play game 7 on the road, so the odds, you know, are there. You know, I look at Golden State, and again, you're right. They have been really good for a number of years,
yeah.
But even the Celtics of the '80s blew a tire in the early '90s.
Oh yeah.
As they got older,
they
got more susceptible to injury. Some of the players that they brought in, weren't the caliber of the guys that they had during the championship runs and during the heyday when they were, you know, battling the Lakers like every other night, it seems. So is Father Time catching up with the Warriors?
Right. And as a matter of fact, Steph Curry is out again right now for the foreseeable future. He's been in and out with injuries. Klay Thompson's had some time with injuries. Draymond Green's in his mid-30s. So you wonder if it's just kind of going to elude them at this point. But obviously their road record is a big factor, because they will be on the road. They'll certainly be the road team in the 7-game series that they face. And who knows how long they're going to last. But in terms of defending their crown, it makes a lot more difficult way to reach the top of the mountain with their road record right now. So that was my second surprise. The third one is an individual, and it's, I'm talking about Greg Popovich here, the coach of the San Antonio Spurs, who is eligible for the Naismith Hall of Fame this year. He'll easily make it. He's won five. They won five championships with the Spurs. He's still coaching, but here's the thing, Tim. They've lost 16 straight games. They're 14-47, and I think it's a surprise on the standpoint of, okay, is he going to maybe retire at the end of the season? What's the deal with Greg? Everyone still looks up to him. I mean, opposing players after games, they seek him out, and they confide in him. They talk to him all the time. They have such he commands such phenomenal respect. He's coached the international teams, you know, the USA teams and all that, the Olympic type teams, and he's done so much in his career. And I believe he's over 70 years old now. So I'm thinking with a six, I don't want to see him bow out. I guess on a year when he's eligible to be, he will definitely be inducted into the Hall of Fame. But to have a 16-game losing streak right now and be 14-47, and I'm just wondering if he's dreading coaching these days, or he doesn't have a good roster, he's not going to turn it around anytime soon, and is it time for him to somehow step away in a graceful way? Because he deserves that. He's been a phenomenal coach with five NBA championships in his, under his belt.
I definitely agree. I mean, everybody calls him, you know, he's the dawn of the NBA coaching ranks. And but again, he's got a team that got old. He had a team, you know, he doesn't have the guys he used to have. That's for sure.
That's for sure.
If they get kind of caught up into what the Celtics sort of did in the early 90s, where they were so successful that the draft choices that they got couldn't reach the level of expectation that the team had when they drafted them, and have they just come up short in terms of the talent pool to replace the legends that they had during the heyday?
That's right. I just hate to see him bow out though on such a bad note, because he deserves better than that. So, you know, I'm wondering what his real thinking is behind this, and whether maybe he might retire when he gets inducted into the Hall of Fame later this year, you know. So I'm hoping it was out on a good note. That's all I'm saying, because he's been great for the NBA. He approached the game the right way, sort of the same way Red Auerbach did, all those old school guys. And he taught the guys, certainly Tim Duncan. He had players of high character when you had Ginobili and David Robinson and Tim Duncan and all that. And I want him to be remembered for those things and not for a team that is going to finish like 18-64 or something like that, you know? So,
well, you know, I would never, for myself, and I'm sure a lot of other people my own age who've lived through the championship runs of the Celtics in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, you know, and what he brought to San Antonio, and of course to have the Twin Towers that he had, and to meld them into such a dynamic duo, and then to Parker and the others, that they were just so seamless as a team, as an organization. I don't think anybody would think of this year if they had to say Greg Popovich and the Spurs. All they would think of were Duncan, Robinson, and championships.
That's right. That's true. Great point, Tim. All right, so on to surprise number four. And this one really, I get irritated when I think about this. When I see now, of course, we're getting towards the end of the season and all these people talking about MVPs. And Luka Doncic is somewhere in the mix, like third or fourth or fifth. And I'm thinking, wait a minute. There are a couple of games over 500, the Dallas Mavericks. Luka Doncic, can you really mention him in the same breath? Jason Tatum is sort of considered the third guy right now behind, let's say, Jokic and Giannis. And Luka Doncic is in the same breath with Jason Tatum. I'm thinking, are you kidding me? The Celtics are 44-17, and the MVP usually goes to the best player or a great player on the championship team, or certainly a team that goes deep in the playoffs, a winning team. But you can't talk about Luka Doncic, despite his great individual skills, as being an MVP candidate. He's nowhere near Jokic, Giannis, Embiid, or Tatum. I mean, it's a joke, in my opinion. And now he's got his buddy, I call him the Hoop Honeymooners, Kyrie Irving and Luka Doncic. The Hoop Honeymooners, because they're on their honeymoon period right now, because one or the other is going to get fed up after a while. Probably Irving, because he moves on at the drop of a hat. And they're 1-3 playing together. Small sample size, but they're 1-3. They take 70-80% of the shots of the starting five, 70-80% of the shots, and they're 2 games over .500. And how can you talk Luka Doncic as an MVP candidate? Yet, nationally, he's considered an MVP candidate. I don't see it. He's nowhere near Jason Tatum's efficiency and team leader. Nowhere near it. And you can't even compare him as a leader or an effectiveness standpoint with Jokic, Giannis, and Embiid. It's just no comparison whatsoever. Yet he's up there in the NBA talk MVP, and that to me that's a surprise.
Well, you know, when you're the best guy on a bad team, and you're getting all the stats, you know, we know it's a media driven world out there, Michael. And if you can make enough noise for your guy, all of a sudden he's known all around the country. You know, who's the big guy scoring all the points? Who's the big guy getting all the rebounds? Who's the big guy? We can't win a game. Oh, the final question is the most important one. Have all your points, all your rebounds, but what do you do? You know, what impact are you actually having on the team in terms of wins and losses? And it's not very good.
It's not very good. And there's no threat. There'll be no threat in the playoffs whatsoever. So I think all that talk to me is just so overdone about Luka Doncic. And I'm not denying his individual skills, but he is the most, to me, the most ball-dominant player in the league. On the 24-second clock, he eats up 18, 19, 20 seconds. Although I haven't seen him yet play with Kyrie and how that holds. It's a two-man game there, and that's it. So you cannot include him in the MVP talk, not even close in my estimation. Even Jaylen Brown is a far better player than Luka Doncic in terms of a team scheme. So let's put that one away. But to me, it's a surprise. I was just wondering what you guys thought about that. Rick, do you have a thought on that one?
I'm just following and listening to you guys and just nodding my head. Yeah.
Okay, now the fifth one, the surprise to me is, guy, and we talked about this, Rick, a week ago, the guy who considers himself the greatest player since God was created himself. You know, we're talking LeBron James, okay? It's a self-proclaimed greatest player of all time. And yet, the surprise to me, if he is the greatest player of all time, how come his team is in 12th place? Mostly they've been in 13th place. And that's no improvement from last year. They didn't make the playoffs. They couldn't even finish in the top 10 and have a play-in game. They didn't make it last year. They're in 12th place right now and going nowhere, despite having not just LeBron, but they had Westbrook until a week or two ago. They have Anthony Davis, certainly a premier big man. They have some supplemental, complementary players and all that. And why can't LeBron James, if he's the greatest player of all time, get his team even to 10th place? We are talking 12th place with a losing record with the greatest player in history. I don't get it. So that surprises me. I don't know. What do you guys think?
If I could offer a comment on that.
Yeah.
LeBron, in all the years I've watched him, I don't think he makes players around him better.
Mm-hmm.
The great ones, like Bird, like Russell, like, you know, Jerry West and guys like that, they make players around them play better because they get so much attention the other guys can shine. I don't see that with LeBron, number one. Number two, and I think this is the biggest one, he is a public relations savvy media dude. I mean, he is all brand. And so, you know, everything about LeBron is brand. And, you know, we're kind of purists, all three of us. We like the sport for the sport's sake.
Yep.
And I think that's kind of what's annoying. And so to bring that up, I think, is important. And over the years, how successful has he been, again, in elevating guys around him? Tim, what do you think?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. You know, when you're bringing the ball up, when you're dribbling it around, when you're taking the shot, everybody else stands around and looks. and his teammates get to watch LeBron score points. And so how much better are you making the team? You know, think back to when the Lakers in the South in the 80s saved the NBA. What was the concept? Team basketball. And yet the NBA went out of their way to make it Larry versus Magic.
Right.
Because even before those two guys, Kareem had a big personality, but Kareem was part of a team. Bill Russell was part of the Celtics. You know, Chamberlain was part of the 76ers and then the Lakers. He was part of the team. And after when Michael came around, all of a sudden it was Michael. And then it became all the individual guys on the team, the star guys. And everybody else had to sit on the sideline.
Yep.
And that's what these guys like LeBron and Kyrie Irving have simply elevated themselves into. Well, this is what the NBA wants. They want me.
Yep.
And so I'm going to go out there and put me on display, not the team. And that's why you sort of have to, you know, really appreciate the way the Celtics have been playing under the recent coaching staff, because it's not about anybody but the team. Now, Tatum is certainly a superstar, you know, and Jaylen Brown is an emerging star. And those two guys can put on a show. But they do it within the context of the team.
Yep.
And that's why they're 44-17. And
that's
LeBron,
right.
And LeBron and his buddies, quickly moving down, are, where the hell are they?
Yeah.
29-32. And you would think that they'd be a whole lot better, but when you're the one-man show, and they got Davis, but I don't think he cares.
Well, he showed he didn't care when LeBron broke the record. He was sitting on the bench and not even getting up to, you know, congratulate his teammate. That said a lot to me. And I'll,
yeah.
I'll tell you one other thing. I saw a quick clip of Scottie Pippen, who, of course, was a sidekick of Michael Jordan through those six championships. And Scottie Pippen said recently, after LeBron broke the record, he said, you know, all the time I spent with Michael Jordan, and they had their clashes, those two guys. They were two strong personalities. And Scottie Pippen was a phenomenal player himself. And he said, all the time I spent with Michael Jordan, all the times I was his teammate, not once did Michael Jordan ever say that he was the greatest player, that he was the greatest player of all time. He says, that had to come from his peers, and he waited till his peers said it. He says, so LeBron, talking about himself that way, and I'm summarizing, he says, LeBron talking about himself this way is completely different than the way Michael Jordan approached the whole I'm the greatest idea. He says, Michael Jordan never talked about himself that way. He heard it from his peers. LeBron, already put himself at the top of the mountain.
Yeah, you look, when did Larry have his, I mean, Larry emerged and he made an impression and impact as soon as he walked on the basketball court the first day. But when did they get good? When they brought in Parrish and they brought in McHale.
Yep.
When did Michael get good? When they brought in Scottie Pippen and crazy man Dennis Rodman.
Yep.
You know, then they got good because, well, now he's sharing the ball. You got to guard these other guys, and they played team ball. And it's,
yep.
LeBron doesn't care to play team ball. LeBron is about LeBron.
Yeah, and like Rick said, he's a brand. You know, it's just
yep.
like, you know, like the tire commercials or, you know, the Gap or whatever. He's a brand. He's like Giselle, you know.
Well,
he's a brand. She's
that's
a brand.
What I didn't like about the All-Star thing with Jaylen Brown and his. I always wanted to be the best and the MVP of the score 60 in my sneakers, but not Jaylen Brown. Excuse me, Jason Tatum. But I will say this. Thank you for that, Mike. I want you to keep that going. So we'll have the Power Five next week. We have. I love the Surprise Five. And I'm hoping that someday there'll be a real positive surprise in there, like Joe Mazzulla or something like that.
Right.
A
quick thing. I know we're wrapping up. But, guys, I was appalled that Jaylen Brown, on Saturday night, before the 76ers game, was chatting with a fan, apparently, who was, you know,
oh, yeah.
heckling him. And he said of Jaylen Brown, to Jaylen Brown's face, I hope you tear your ACL.
Nice.
That's appalling.
It is. It is. And that's typical of where the country. We could get into a philosophical debate at the moment, or at least a discussion. I also want to point out to you guys, I saw the most Larry Bird-ish play by a Boston Celtic since Larry Bird when Jason Tatum hit that step back against Philadelphia. Was it in overtime?
Yes, 1.3 seconds.
He hit that step back in overtime, and I said, oh, my God, that's Larry Bird. And then Embiid, I said, oh, my God, he tied the game.
Exactly. He just released a fraction. You know, that's great. There's your two. That's why they're MVP candidates, both of them, because they do that for the team. They're trying to win the game. And, you know, that's why they differ from some of these other guys that we were just talking about.
Exactly. This was fun, Mike. I love the idea. Let's keep it going.
Sure, and we'll be back with the Power Five. The Power Five would not have changed this week. Right?
Oh, okay, so that's cool.
So maybe they'll change. It'll change next week.
As always, thank you.
Because the Bucks have won 14 in a row.
Yep.
All right, I'll let you go.
All right, and don't tell me the score because I'm DVR in the game.
Oh, me too.
All right, Mike, thank you so much.
Tim, great talking to you as well.
All right, Michael, be good. Have a good week.
You too.
Be well, Mike. Good night.
Right.
That's Mike Grenier, who is a sports journalist, longtime writer for the Salem News. And you heard that. He's been to 20 basketball games. Central Catholic high school basketball, 20 of them. And I don't know, man. Tim, that's love of the game.
Oh, yeah. And you know, he's always been that way. And he's been, how long has he been retired?
Quite a while. Quite a while. He does write occasional columns and stories for the Salem News, just as Gary Larrabee does. Speaking of which, we got to get a hold of Gary at some point because the golf season is really underway. And I guess your friend there, Tiger Woods, had a pretty good weekend a couple of weekends ago.
Yeah, you know, he made some moves. He made some shots, and I think he's just trying to continue to play himself back into a competitive person.
Well, what's interesting, the word brand comes to mind again. He's a brand. And, I don't know, was it like this, Tim, when we were growing up with athletes, the branding and the me, me, me?
No, of course not. Of course not. No. You know, when you talked about the Celtics, you talked about the Celtics. And they had arguably one of the greatest basketball players in the history of the game.
Mm.
You know, Bill Russell. And they won championships every year, but you still talk the Celtics.
You know, and I remember, you know.
Bobby Orr, you couldn't pay Ted Williams, Bobby Orr, today.
No.
Today. They would be demanding, I'll be worth so much money. You know?
And then the New York Yankees, I mean, the closest thing to branding of the Yankees, I think, was, after Babe Ruth, of course, was probably Mickey Mantle. And even he was a member of a team. And I don't know, I don't get it. But I guess that's discussion for another day. But it's been fun. So let's see. No holiday next Monday, so we'll be back and do it again, Tim?
Oh, all right.
Okay. Check's in the mail, brother.
I keep looking.
Yeah, well, you know, blame the Postal Service. It's not my fault.
Bottom of the mailbox.
All right, Coach. Be good, man, and don't shovel too much.
No, I'm not going to do that. I don't know. I may have a snow day tomorrow.
So okay.
It's really nasty. I don't know.
All right. Be well, Tim. Be safe, and we'll talk to you later.
All right, Rick. Good night.
Thanks, Coach. Good night. All right, that is Tim Kearns, our Goodwill Ambassador and our sports analyst supreme, and my thanks to Ty Hanrahan, assistant hockey coach over at Endicott College, and to Paul Yameen, who is the head coach at Newburyport High School, and of course to Newburyport High School Hockey, and to Mike Grenier, who is a sports journalist and a good friend, and just a font of information and a lot of good stuff to talk about and to chew on. Thank you guys so much. Don't forget, tomorrow we have the Salem News a podcast coming up with the sports writers from the Salem News, executive sports editor Phil Dimitri, assistant Matt Williams, sports journalist Nick Giannino, and the sports editor of the Gloucester Times, Nick Kukuru, and they will have a special guest on as well about talking about Division I high school hockey here in the MIAA tournament coming, that's beginning on Wednesday. I guess it's actually begun with the Outriders coming in, the the entrance at the, you know, on the, what do you call it, the play-in games, okay? So the actual tournament, the first round gets underway on Wednesday, and we'll have lots and lots of information coming up with interviews and all kinds of other stuff for you here on MSO News Sports. So on behalf of Tim Kearns and Bill Newell and our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, I'm Rick Moore. Be well, be safe, and do the right thing.